The Tom Woods Show, episode 1523.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, I don't know about you, but I am running into a lot of progressives saying, look, police, fire, schools, these are all great examples of socialism. Well, let's focus on that school example. I've got a free ebook called Education Without the State that makes a pretty darn good case for a stateless approach to education. Pick it up at nostateeducation.com. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. We're catching up with our old friend Jason Stapleton today, whom I got to know in the days of the Jason Stapleton program, his libertarian podcast, which has since that time undergone a bit of a transformation, and we'll be talking about that as well. But Jason has a wide variety of experiences in numerous areas. So, for example, he launched about 10 years ago Trade Empowered and grew it into one of the biggest and most well-respected trading education companies in the world. If you just Google Jason Stapleton Forex and see what comes back, you'll get a sense of his influence in that area. He also hosted the TV program The Tesla Files for the History Channel, and lately he's been doing a lot of work helping people create authority, celebrity, and influence, bundling this all up into a personal brand. And this is a topic that ought to interest all of us, because I see people out there, let's say, with libertarian podcasts or blogs or whatever, and they're doing great work, and somehow it's not catching fire. They're not building a tribe. They're not building a devoted following. What is the missing ingredient? What's the missing ingredient there, where some people have that and other people don't? What are the people who don't missing? This fascinates me, and no doubt it does you as well. Jason, welcome back.
Tom, thank you so much for having me. I saw in my Skype before we came on that it's been a year now since we talked. So I'm really glad to be back with you.
Yeah, it's been quite a while. And I want to say at the outset, in case I didn't say it at the time, I probably said it to you privately, but I didn't say it in public. I appreciate that you had a certain, let's say, figure in the Libertarian Party on your program who was really giving me a hard time. He started. I did not start. Never occurred to me. I think I'll start something with the Libertarian Party chairman. You know, it would never have dawned on me to do that. So he started some ridiculous row with me. And you had him on. You were not disrespectful in any way, but you were very firm. And I thought you made a pretty darn rousing defense of me. And so in front of my audience, I want to say a thank you for that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're welcome, obviously. But I mean, for me, it really was more about the division that we constantly were seeing. And there was just no need to feed it. When you've got somebody who has a voice like you do and somebody who entertains and inspires and enlightens so many people, it is absolutely ridiculous and completely counterproductive to attack that person because of minute differences of opinion. It's foolishness, and it frankly it made me angry. And you're right, I didn't want to be rude, but I did want to challenge that, and I wanted all of my listeners to know how completely unacceptable I thought that was. So I'm glad to do it.
Well, thank you very much. So let's talk about not the terrible past, but the glorious present and future. Although when we turn to current events, I guess it's not so glorious, but what's been your commentary about what's, you know, just current events these days, particularly with the election coming up and the Democrats, and we're hearing mumbling that some of the higher-ups aren't happy really with any of the candidates they have, and Joe Biden is turning out to be an embarrassment, and the whole thing is just a train wreck. What do you think about, what's been your impression of the Democrats and Trump and the likely outcome? What have you been saying about this?
Yeah, it's funny because we've been following this for until the last 3 or 4 months. I've kind of laid that aside because it's really difficult early on to make any assessment of who's going to be a front runner. But you knew right away that Biden wasn't ever going to be a contender. And I really liked when I saw Buttigieg on Fox News. I could just tell the way he had scripted even the last minute of the conversation that he had with the audience that he was going to be somebody to watch. And now today you're starting to see Buttigieg kind of coming to the forefront and really becoming a player in the Democratic field. I really would have loved, I'm not going to vote for Tulsi, but just in terms of her foreign policy, I liked her as much as I think other libertarians liked her on that point. but it was clear that she probably wasn't going to break out and be a contender either. And although I would have liked to have seen that, she's starting to make a little bit more noise, but still nothing. She's not anywhere close to being a major player in the field. More than anything, the shift that's happened in my show over the last 2 years, you know, we changed the name, it was called Jason Stapleton Program, and now we've changed it to Wealth, Power, and Influence because I wanted to create a mind shift. I did the show for about 4 years before we switched things up. And over that time, I focused primarily and entirely on how do I identify libertarian principles and values for people, and how do I show them how we need to be voting more libertarian and converting libertarians so that we can create a change in government. And after about 4 years of doing that, I hadn't received a single note from anybody that I had talked to who said, you know what, you convinced me and I ran for office and now we've completely changed our local government. And I didn't see any state representatives get elected and radically change government. But what I was seeing were dozens of people sending me emails and commenting and saying, you know what, you've inspired me. You've inspired me to change the direction of my life, either to get off my butt and take some positive action or to go out and get that new job that I've been wanting to get. And I realized that the real impact that I was making was not in the political front, but it was in the personal, in the cultural front, by convincing people that they were worth more, that they could do more, and really challenging them to live an extraordinary life. And so I decided, you know what, if I want to make a change, if I really want government to change, you got to change culture first. Politics is downstream of culture, which means it's the same thing. If you look at gay marriage, if you look at drug legalization, if you look at any of the things that we as libertarians support, what you notice was it wasn't that we put the right people in government. It was the fact that society all of a sudden decided that this is acceptable now, that we're going to find this acceptable. And then what you saw were politicians in droves switching their opinion. And I said, that's what we need to do. I said, I need to inspire and empower people to understand better what they can do in their own lives to communicate the message that they believe in, to communicate what they do better so that they can then change the hearts and minds of their friends and neighbors. And so that's been the focus of our show for about the last 2 years. And it was really tough at first. I'm not going to lie to you. We really took a beating in the beginning. A lot of negative press, a lot of people coming and telling us we were going to be failures. And I knew that this was where we needed to go. And now our numbers are back up. We're having the best year that we've had since 2016. And we're running into 2020 with the right people with the right mindset who are actively trying to figure out, how do I change my life? How do I better understand what's happening around me so that I can make positive change in my life and the lives of the people that I love?
Well, it does put me in mind a bit of that great book by Harry Brown, How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World. And he's not talking primarily about politics in that book, is right. he? He's talking about all other aspects of your life.
Yes. And for me, I have always said here's the thing. Money isn't everything. Money doesn't buy happiness, but it buys everything else. And what I tell people is the greatest things in life, the most important things in life are free. That's your friendships. That's your relationship. It's those things. But everything else, the second best things in life are very, very expensive. And everything improves. Your freedom here in America, around the world, is directly tied to how much wealth you have, because your wealth equals mobility. Where can I go? What happens if I lose my job? What happens if the economy tanks? You look at people in Venezuela right now. Who's left? Not the rich folks, not the people who had money. Those people left a long time ago. The people who are left are the poor. They're the indigent. They're those who couldn't get out. And I want to wrap up Americans today. And I just want to say, listen, it's not greedy to want to do well in life. It's not greedy to want to make enough that you can provide your children with the best healthcare and the best education and to have financial security so that if one day the wheels come off this wagon, you can be the first guy out the door and you can make sure that you and your family are taken care of. And real freedom, real liberty doesn't just come from the documents that government has or the fact that countries restrict your liberty in one way or another. That fight needs to happen too. But you're not going to change government, but you can change you. And so that's what I want people to understand, is that that's where the real change happens, is that if you become freer, if you become more financially capable and responsible, if you choose to focus on controlling the source of your income, I'm big on entrepreneurship. I think this is the greatest time in history to be an entrepreneur, because it's never been easier. It's never been cheaper. But there's a lot of voices out there now because it's so much easier and so much cheaper. And so by focusing on that and by getting away from the dependence of an employer or somebody like that, it's a positive thing in your life if you can do that. And so I'm just trying to help people understand that they are worth more, that they're capable of more. And then I spend my days on my show talking about things like, we're going to talk about politics today, and I'm going to talk about Buttigieg, and we're going to talk about Biden, and we're going to talk about just some of the messaging that they're using and why it's not working, and why you've got all of these Democrats who are now scared to death, and Biden's trying to shore up all of his funding so that he can keep going. He's trying to convince people that he's still got the goods when everybody deep down inside knows he doesn't have the goods. So what's the messaging problem there? And why is Trump, and why was Trump so much more successful in 2016 than any of the other Democratic candidates? And why is he still, despite being an absolute train wreck as a human being and as a president, why is he still likely the front runner in this election, despite what everybody else might believe? That's the kind of stuff that we want to focus on, because the better you understand messaging and communication, the better you understand branding, whether it's, you know, whether you're trying to sell a product that you own or whether you're trying to get a raise, it doesn't matter. You got to know how to do these things if you're going to be successful and win at life. And there's a direct tie to that and the liberty and freedom that we have.
Your point about money not buying happiness is one of these things that makes me crazy when people are talking about that. And they say, all you focus on is material things. Number one, I don't just focus on material things. But number two, the way I always put it is, I'd rather be depressed with air conditioning than without it.
Exactly. You
know? Maybe it won't solve my depression, but it'll make it a lot more comfortable, you know, just common sense. But also, like, the people who favor $15 an hour, are they really going to be appeased if we say, oh, who cares about that? Money doesn't buy happiness, right?
Right.
That's not going to make, oh, you're right, I'll go back to earning minimum wage. None of them are going to say that.
No, because we know that comfort, look, I've been very poor, Tom, in my life, and I've been rich. There's no doubt. I mean, I'm top one percenter, if we're being honest. And between the two, rich is always better. Like I said, it's not going to cure your depression. It's not going to help you find the perfect woman. It's not going to help your kids not be degenerates. But it is going to make everything else in your life easier. I had a mentor once tell me. He said, if you can solve a problem by writing a check, you don't have a problem. So, you know, the focus is on amassing enough cash flow, enough wealth, that no longer becomes an issue. If you look at the bulk of Americans, if they had a $1,000 bill they had to pay tomorrow, they wouldn't know where the money would come from. That's the bulk of Americans today. They're in some form of slavery right now. And yet most of them, and most of the people who listen to our shows, or at least a great deal of them, are focused on, oh, look at the liberties that government's taking away from us, while they're living in the worst form of slavery, or one of the worst forms of slavery that we have in our modern time. It's just, we're in indebted servitude to an employer, to a business, to a credit card, to a loan, whatever it is. And I desperately want people out of that, because it's unnecessary and it cripples you as a human being.
The caricature of libertarians is that we're all extremely wealthy, and that's why we don't favor all these things that would help the downtrodden, because we just want to keep all our wealth like a miser for ourselves so that we can roll around in it and have it stick to our sweaty bodies. That's the impression that people are given about libertarians. But the impression you'd get if you actually met any libertarians is that most of them are broke.
You know? Yeah.
And yet they still favor, because they have principles, they still favor non-intervention domestically, because they understand the ideas behind that. But generally, it's not that we're a bunch of wealthy people trying to protect our wealth against Elizabeth Warren. If only libertarians had enough wealth for Elizabeth Warren to care about it. And that, to me, is one of the great tragedies. Now, there's no direct connection between libertarianism and entrepreneurship. And there's an indirect one in that, obviously, libertarians don't want to hinder entrepreneurship, because that would violate the non-aggression principle. And you could sort of see an idea that if you tend to be against aggression and the state, well, maybe you also favor some kind of just individual independence in the way you live your life. And so you can see how that fits in with entrepreneurship. I've tried to make that connection and explain to people there are so many ways to skin this cat.
Yeah.
Like you can build something. You don't have to be the next Apple computer. You don't have to do anything like that. You can build a simple little thing. Like I have listeners who, some of them because of me and some of them on their own, have very successful print-on-demand businesses, or they run e-commerce stores very successfully. Some of my more advanced listeners have gone to white labeling and creating their own products. I've got people who create information products. These are all amazing things that are now available to do that are not that hard. And I've told people, really, there's a three-step process. Now, this is not the kind of business you have, Jason, but it's an easy business somebody could start tomorrow. You could start it tomorrow if you just read about how to do it. It's a three-step business. You come up with an area that you love. Make it an area that you love. Make sure that's an area where there are hungry buyers and there are things to sell them. That's the key thing. Mm-hmm. And then you have some free offer. You write a report, or you hire somebody to write a report for you, or you make a video, or you do an interview with an expert. Okay, just these things cost you nothing. And you give away that report in exchange for the person's email address. You put up a squeeze page, use a service like Lead Pages, put up a squeeze page, say, hey, give me your email address and I'll send you this free report. They give you the email address, you send them the free report. And then from then on, you email them offers. Now, you don't just email them offers. You make the offers entertaining and interesting. You make the emails worth reading, like mine, frankly. But that's it. It's simply you give something away to an audience. You collect the email addresses. You follow up and market them further. That's it. There are people who have, like my friend Ben Settle, who I've learned so much from. He's one of three people I've ever given a testimonial to in my life. That's Ben's entire model. Every day, he writes one or two emails. And that's his entire business. And then he's done for the day. And he is really wealthy. This business is available to anyone. And yet almost nobody even looks into it. I could get people could look into it and say, this isn't for me. They don't even look into it. I don't get that at all. They don't even look into it.
And here's the thing. I think there's two things that you're playing with there. I think people don't believe that it can be as simple. Now,
That's it. Yeah. It can't possibly be that easy. But doggone it, it is. Now, when I say easy, I don't mean you're not going to put in work. You are going to put in work. But the model is simple. That's my point.
I love the fact that you used simple and not easy, because it's not easy. It's going to require a lot of work, a lot of trial and error. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. And the problem is that that's what a lot of people sell is, oh, make money while you sleep, work, make $1 million at a coffee shop. This type of garbage is just sales gimmicks, right? I think in the last 10 years, I've sold a little over $20 million worth of product. And I have no idea how to turn lead into gold. I don't know. I've never made $1 million from a coffee shop or from a cabana in Bali. Like, I don't know how to do that. What I do know is the business. And so I think that people struggle with this idea of, oh, could it really be that cheap and that easy to start? It really is. It's just going to require that you do a lot of work and that you stick with it. And then the second thing is, I think that when we start talking about stuff, because I've noticed listening to your show over the last, over the last year or so, that you are really trying to focus on getting people to do more of this stuff, and because you realize the value of it as much as I do. And I think that some people who maybe they're sitting around and they're making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year. And if you come on, I think they take it as like a personal assault, like they're somehow bad people for not making more money. And that's not at all.
Is not what's motivating it at all. Of course not.
Right. And I find, but at the same time, there's no nobility in poverty. And I think a lot of people who don't make a lot of money kind of wear that as a badge of honor. Like, oh, I'm not one of those rich guys. It's like, look, no, some of my friends are very, very wealthy, and they're some of the greatest people on earth. In fact, when I started my show, they were the ones who were sending me $1,000 checks to keep my show going. They're just donating money. It's like, here's $1,000. We love what you're doing. I want you to do more of it. Here's $1,000. And I had a couple of donors who did that consistently for me in the early days so that I could keep my show going. That's the kind of stuff that you get to do when you have that type of wealth. And so it's not a badge of honor. There's nothing noble about it. But at the same time, if what I like to say is, listen, if what you really want to do is fish all day and make, you know, you're happy making 60 grand a year and that's really what you want to do, well, let's find a way where you can make that 60 grand a year fishing all day and then you own it all. Then you control it all. So you don't have to worry about showing up one day and your boss saying, you know what, I'm tired of you fishing all the time, or, you know, business has gone bad. And so here's your pink slip. You're now on unemployment. Let's cut that guy out. And let's just have you focused on you. You can make as much money as you want to, and you can do whatever you want to, because that's the blessing of the world that we live in today. And once you get somebody's mind around that, it's funny because I've been working with Amy and Matt now for about 2 years since we started making this transition. And as we built the company, I know it was difficult for them in the beginning to see how it was all going to work. They're like, oh, will people really pay, you know, for that type of stuff? And as they started to see it grow and expand, now their eyes are getting bigger and their minds are opening up, and they're starting to dream a lot bigger about what we can do for the world and the way we can be a positive impact on the world. And it's exciting to watch that transition happen, but it only comes through minute gains. And so anybody who's listening to this who is skeptical about it, or, you know, it really looks at it as like, oh, I'm tired of listening to him talk about this stuff. Listen, if you're happy working for somebody else, struggling to make ends meet, and, you know, you really just want to watch football and play video games at night, this message isn't for you. It just frankly isn't. But for those of you who are tired of living that life, who would like to live a bigger and freer life, but for some reason just feel like you can't make that move, I want you to understand that you can, that it's not as difficult as you think. And it can start. I read some testimonials on my show on Friday. And the testimonials were from a couple of listeners, and one of them started a business, but the other one just went into his boss because I'd been prodding my audience. I said, listen, if you are worth more, demand it from your boss. If you can go somewhere else and make more money, then demand from your current employer what you're worth. Because I said, this is the problem, is people don't give themselves enough credit. And so that's what he did. He walked into his boss. He said, listen, there's been a competitor who's opened up and he's scooping up a lot of your best employees. He said, I want to stay. I want to work with you, but here's what I want from you. I want a new truck. I want a raise. I want all this stuff. I want my vacation time back. And wouldn't you know it, his employer gave it to him. He gave him all of it. And that's a guy who's stepping up and saying, listen, I'm worth more. I know my value and I'm going to demand it. Because to do less than that, Tom, is to steal from yourself and from your family. If you are not demanding what you are worth, if you are not earning every penny, you are stealing from your future. You're stealing from your kids' future. You have a responsibility, an obligation to do everything you can to amass as much as you can so that you can serve yourself and the world in a better way.
All right, we're about to hit on the most important topic of this entire conversation. But before we do that, I have an important message for the super responsible people who listen to this program. Folks, I'm talking to you in late October, and that means it is open enrollment period, which is normally the time people think about health insurance coverage. But it's also the perfect moment to reassess your life insurance needs. It turns out that to provide properly for their families, most people need 10 times the life insurance coverage they get through their job. So your employer life insurance is leaving you way underinsured. And that's where Policy Genius can help. Policy Genius, which I myself have used, is the easy way to shop for a life insurance plan that's not tied to your job. In minutes, you can compare quotes from top insurers to find your best price. It really is idiot-proof. The life insurance you buy through Policy Genius stays with you even if you leave your job. And Policy Genius doesn't make it easy just to get life insurance. They can also help you find the right home and auto insurance, as well as disability insurance. So when you're looking at your workplace benefits this month, make sure to double check your life insurance options. You are a responsible person, and this is what responsible people do. You know in your heart, I'm right. So go to policygenius.com to get quotes and apply in minutes. Policy Genius, the easy way to compare and buy life insurance. I know one of the things that you've been emphasizing in recent months and years has been branding and personal branding. And I'll be honest with you, I used to think that was some kind of a gimmick, but it can be done in a non-gimmicky way. Like, I think about, is there such a thing as a Tom Woods brand? Now, it's not anything that I've deliberately cultivated consciously. It's just like, for example, the way I, instead of saying dollars, I say smackers. Well, the reason that that came about, actually, in case people are wondering, is that when you use the word money in an email over and over, it tends to get caught in the spam filter because people assume you're some kind of scammer. But there are plenty of reasons you might want to talk about money, right? I mean, obviously, right? Yep. It makes the world go round. So I use the word smackers. People think it's a cute little quirk of Woods, but it's just so that when I type it out in my emails, it'll be familiar to you and it gets past the spam filter. But then that became part of sort of my brand. Now, everybody, when they see me, they say smackers when they're talking about money. Or even the products I advertise have become part of my brand because of the way I pitch them, like the Away carry-on. I say, that makes me the king of the airport. Well, people come up to me and say, hey, Tom, I'm the king of the airport. So I've made their brand into my brand. And also frankly, although I try to be gentlemanly and friendly, I can be as pugnacious as the next guy. And I can, you know, fight my enemies as powerfully as anybody else. And that's part of my brand, is that if somebody comes after me, I hit them hard and then I send an email about it and I monetize it and I rub in their faces that I monetized the fact that they attacked me. That's all part of the Tom Woods brand. And that identifies and distinguishes me from other people in the libertarian world. And it makes my people more, you know, dedicated to supporting me, you know, they like me more. It makes me distinct. And so it's not a fake thing. It's important. I mean, if people, you know, they love me or they hate me. There are very few people who are lukewarm about Tom Woods, and that's because I have a very distinct and at this point somewhat cultivated brand. Now, am I somewhere in the ballpark of the way you think about this?
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's funny because you said a lot of things in there that are absolutely applicable. But first of all, I think everybody needs to understand that you already have a brand. Like you are known in your little circle, however big that circle is, as somebody. And you have a personality. People view you a certain way. So whether you want to be deliberate about that brand and whether you've been deliberate is completely up to you. But you've got probably a brand in your family, in your social circle, and a brand at work, a way people view you and talk about you. And I think what people... Don't confuse being deliberate about building a brand with being unauthentic, because they're not the same thing. Like you said, you know, this is who I am, and I've built this thing, and there's been a brand that was established around it. And the more you learn about how to do it, the better you become and the more you can attract the right kind of people into your life. And so, in fact, when you talk about being, you can be, you know, kind of abrasive when you need to be. I have a term for that. It's called iconoclastic positioning. And it's just basically...
I like that.
Yeah, it's taking a very abrasive tone and doing some attacking so that you can help distinguish and define yourself as this, not that. And it is a very effective branding tool. And for anybody who feels the same way you do, they're instantly attracted to you. There's instant trust and likability. And that's really what you're trying to do, is you're trying to attract the right people to you, whether you're trying to get a raise, whether you're trying to build good relationships, whether you're trying to sell a product or service, doesn't matter. You're trying to attract the right people to you who will be receptive to your message, and who you can develop trust and likability with. Now, the more deliberate you are with that branding and with that messaging, the better job you will do at attracting the kind of people that you want to have in your life. It's the same thing in relationships. If you're trying to attract the right person into your life, you had better be sending them the right signals. You'd better be saying the right things to make sure that you're attracting the right person to you. So it's essential. And one of the great things about it is when you deny this, you end up with, for example, I work with podcasters a lot. A lot of them just want to be able to put out, they think, oh, I'm just going to put out great information and that's going to do it. No, if you don't have a brand, if you don't have a personality, if you don't have something for them to attach themselves to, nobody listens to your show. I mean, half the people who listened to my show hated me, but they still listened. The other half loved me. And the same thing goes with your show. You get a lot of people who listen to you because they love you. They want to know Tom's opinion. They don't want to just read the news. They don't want to just listen to the guest. They want to hear you talk about what you think. That's the difference. If you want to be successful in life, in business, you've got to be deliberate about building that brand. And I recognize this. So just so your audience knows that I'm qualified to teach this, I built a multi-million dollar online business in trading education, which is one of the oldest and most saturated markets that one can be in. It's also one of the most cutthroat. After that, I built a gigantic podcast, Politics and Economics, over 30,000 downloads an episode. I did the show 5 days a week. After that, I did a TV show for the History Channel. I did a documentary film on the Greek refugee crisis, if you can believe that, that won multiple Best Picture awards at film festivals this last year. And now I run a massive branding and marketing company. I have built brands in multiple niches in different verticals over the last 10 years. And I help people, everybody from bakers to investment planners, do the same thing now. So I'm not trying to pitch anybody on anything. I'm just saying I am more qualified to teach this and to talk about this than anybody you've met, because not only have I done it in a big way, I've done it multiple times in different industries.
Well, I would like to recommend that people check out the free resources you have to get a sense of what you're specializing in, what you're doing, the success you've had, how they can use it. Because as I say, I used to think that specifically branding was something I didn't need to think about. But honestly, whether you are conscious of it or not, you are building a brand. So you may as well do it the right way. You may as well do it in a way that's going to attract people to you and build a tribe for yourself. That's really the thing. I mean, I have people who, if I get attacked by somebody, I don't even need to respond. A swarm of people come out of nowhere because they feel like they know Tom Woods, they like him, they trust him, they feel like I'm a truth teller, that I'm doing my best. I'm not always right, but I try my hardest to be right as often as I can. And if I'm wrong, I apologize and I correct it. And they like that. Well, and they also feel like they know me a little bit too. They know about my kids. They know about my interests and hobbies. They know about my crazy musical tastes. They know these things about me. I'm a real person to them.
You have the best kind of tribe, Tom, because they're both fascinated and fanatical. So that's they're actually four stages. You go from awareness. That's the first stage, is you got to get people to know who you are. Make them aware of who you are. And then they got to be just a little bit interested in whatever it is that you're talking about. So, for example, with your show, they got to be at least a little bit interested in politics, a little bit interested in libertarianism or Austrian economics. And then once you've got that, then you got to build a little bit of affinity. You got to figure out, how do I make these guys like me? And there's actually a formula for this that the FBI has been using for 20 years now to turn spies into double agents and to flip terrorists and get them to confess. Like there's a formula for getting people to like you. It's crazy. And then once you go from that affinity level, then you go to the fascination level. And when you're really doing it right, that's when people are doing things like when you read the ad and say, I'm the king of the airport. When people are telling your stories back to you, when they're telling your story to other people and giving you credit, when they're sending you presents and gifts in the mail, that's how you know when you really have influence over somebody. And so when it's done right, it's painfully apparent that you're doing it right. And if your customers aren't doing that, you're doing something wrong. It means you haven't built that level of affinity and fascination with your audience. And one of the things I love about your crew is just how fanatical they are and how much they love you. And it just proves that everything I'm talking about here, you're doing in exactly the right way. And frankly, your show numbers prove that out as well.
Well, I appreciate that. So I want to, what I sometimes do when people have long links, I shorten them for them. So to get directly to Jason's stuff on this, which again, I recommend, you're like, why not do it? TomWoods.com/Jason is the link to go to. TomWoods.com/Jason. See what Jason is offering. Watch the video you'll find there. And there's no way it's not going to do you good, right? It's definitely going to do you some good. And plus, I find it fascinating. How would you not find this interesting? I can't understand that.
No, I know. And look, I have a three video lesson thing that you can go watch. It doesn't cost you nothing. So if you're at all interested in what we're talking about, you can go check that out. Like I said, I don't care. You could go watch it. Don't go watch it. It's up to you. But if you are interested in it, I know it will help you build a brand and understand the concepts that I'm talking about in more detail. I think in video two the second video, I think I actually teach that relationship formula that I was talking about that the FBI uses. So it's, you know, there's plenty of good stuff there. But more than anything, I say preach sounds all preachy, but I'm trying to get a message across to people that liberty, freedom is tied to your wealth and your independence. And so that you need to at least be a little focused on that. And one of the easiest ways to do it is just to start building a better brand and doing some better communication. We have a lot of libertarians who are terrible communicators, Tom. They spend their days trying to win arguments rather than trying to win converts. I mean, all they want to do is just go argue and decimate people online and prove that they're right and the other guy's wrong. And all that does is leave everybody angry at each other. And that's really poor communication. And when we talk about branding, influence, marketing, sales, all that stuff, we're really just talking about communication. How do you communicate your message better? And I don't care what you're doing, but like that, the three videos is going to help you understand that better. So yeah, go check it out.
All right. So the link once again is tomwoods.com/Jason. I urge you to do it. Go check it out. And as Jason says, it doesn't cost you anything. Just go watch and see what you think. Well, Jason, best of luck with this work that you've been doing, because I agree with you. Sometimes we see political progress either moving at a snail's pace or not occurring at all. But yet the success stories I get in my email inbox are not from people who successfully ran for office or they passed some bill or whatever. It's from people who say, I just quit my job the other day because I'm running an e-commerce store from my laptop, thanks to you.
Right.
You know, that's what I get. So, you know, that makes me think maybe I want to do a little bit more of that. So I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. TomWoods.com/Jason is the link. And thanks again.
God bless you, Tom.
All right, folks. Checking out TomWoods.com/Jason is definitely tonight's homework assignment, because obviously Jason has plenty to say. And it's the sort of thing that, I don't know, independent-minded people, people who want to break free, build something for themselves, well, you're going to save yourself a lot of aggravation and frustration if you know this stuff, because it gives you a leg up over everybody else, frankly, who's going to be trying to learn it through trial and error. Good luck. Anyway, TomWoods.com/Jason. I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.